2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic, a new conversation.
All right, here we go.
On KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
We've got lots to talk to you about today on the Dave and Dejanovic Show. Good morning, I'm Debbie Dejanovic, our guest host once again today, social distancing from beautiful Lehigh, Connor Boyack. Hi, Connor.
Good morning. I prefer to think of it as anti-social distancing.
So give us the Reader's Digest version of your day job, because as you know, we've got a full lineup today.
Yeah, so I run Libertas Institute. We are a free market think tank here in Utah. We work on changing hearts, minds, and laws in favor of freedom. So we have a lot of fun, and there's plenty to do.
All right. Connor Boyack with his pitch.
The coronavirus, the Utah response. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Connor and I going in-depth on the Colin Ray concert that's drummed up a world of controversy. It's heading to a courtroom. A judge calling both sides to court tomorrow, signing off last night at about 7 o'clock in the evening on a temporary restraining order on what is shaping up to be the nation's craziest concert controversy ever.
In between now and then, until I see you again, I'll be loving.
Forbidding the concert organizers from holding the country concert that's set for this Saturday in the Grantsville area. But in all seriousness, Connor, this has turned into a debate over authority to regulate rights in a pandemic. And
yeah,
Connor,
I think,
and I,
yeah, it's a good debate to have.
Yeah, and we've lined up a lot of interviews this morning. There's a lot to talk about with this.
I think rightly so. This is a good tension between, you know, property rights and basic freedom versus the government's interests in the middle of a pandemic. So it'll be fun to talk about.
And it's the concert small town Utah doesn't seem to want. First, it was the community of Kaysville. As we know, they fought back against their very own mayor, who said, it's our constitutional right to throw a concert. She called into the show a couple of times, and I felt like she was holding a flag when she was talking to us, even in a pandemic. And she agreed to hold it in a park, and then the city council and others pushed back. And then the organizer announced right here on the show last week, Connor, I'm sure you were listening, that he was going to move the concert from Kaysville to Grantsville. We're going to talk to him in just a moment. But then the County Health Department in Tooele County stepped in and issued a public health order yesterday to close the venue where the concert's supposed to be held, threatening criminal charges if the owner of the venue doesn't comply, Connor.
This is crazy to me, right? You've got people just trying to gather together. It's happening all the time at Costco and Walmart, but heaven forbid if they're out in an open field having a little fun and exercising basic freedoms, the government's going to crack down on them. I just think this thing's really silly, and my hope is that they just move forward anyways and say, you know, come at me, bro. What are you going to do? And
really?
Maybe Eric's going to go to jail. We'll find out.
Oh, I want to ask Eric if he is planning to go to jail over this. Will you go to the concert, Connor? I got to ask you. It sounds like you're
If it was anything other than country music, I support the principle, but man, you will not find me at a country music concert, I'll tell you that.
Well, then yesterday the county took it all to court because the owner and the organizer of the concert, the owner of the amphitheater and the organizer of the concert have been saying in the press, the concert is going to go on. So enter the judge who agreed to stop the concert, issued the temporary restraining order last night. I think it was at 6:49 p.m. We saw it cross on the court website last night, so I grabbed a copy of that. And it seems as though this will now be a showdown in court tomorrow at about 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
And the county is claiming irreparable harm. They say if this concert goes forward, there will be irreparable harm. So I'm really interested to unpack what they mean by that and really figure out, are they overreacting? Are they overplaying their hand? Because I think that's a kind of a startling claim to make, that if people are out in an open field and having fun, that it's irreparable harm to the county.
Well, the concert organizer got off on shaky ground to begin with, because as we poured over the court documents, it didn't take us long. Exhibit A, there was the Dave and Dujanovic show listed in the court filing by Tooele County that they found out about this concert right here on the show from our producer. So Tooele County learned about it last week by listening to KSL News Radio. They probably didn't appreciate that. Right out of the gates, they started off not on the right foot, I don't think, with the county. So we're going to get the concert organizer on the line right now. Eric, you there?
Hey, Debbie, how you doing?
Good. We're doing well. Eric Moutsos, of course, has been organizing this concert. He took it from Kaysville last week to Grantsville, and now you're going to hold the concert despite what the judge has ordered.
Well, ultimately, I really don't want to take back my boots to the store, because I bought some cowboy boots for this, and so I'll be really upset with the health department if I have to take my cowboy boots back, ultimately.
Stop it. Is the concert going to go on, Eric?
Yeah, we're moving forward. We're working with the property owner. I think that it's just crazy the length that government will go to try and stop saving small businesses. Our last event, we had 5,000 people in Utah County show up in Vineyard. We had 65 booths. We have people crying, saying that we help them pay their mortgages on camera. And we've had zero spikes in COVID. We have 16,000 people in our group, and nobody has reported that they've gotten sick. I don't understand why Governor Herbert and Lieutenant Governor Cox, they're not ecstatic that we are the case study about why we can do this immediately. And it's just amazing. I mean, but more amazing than that is just how smart COVID-19 seems to be, because it clearly knows how to jump over places like Lagoon and Walmart, and it clearly knows how much tax revenue is going to come into the state. It's amazing how smart COVID-19 has.
Eric, talk about this court hearing. Are you going to be involved, or have you read this restraining order? What are your thoughts on this process, and how does it make you feel as the organizer?
Well, as former law enforcement, you know, I stood up to Salt Lake City Police when they tried to mandate us to arrest 5 people per day, misdemeanors. And so all of this stuff doesn't surprise me. And the reason why it doesn't surprise me is because government all over the country, especially in Utah, are very confused about the proper role of government. And the people are even more confused because I believe we just don't know our rights. And that's why one of the reasons why we're in this mess to begin with is because we should have said, thank you for the recommendations. No, we're going to work immediately. The health department can't come in and shut down places like the Redwood Drive-In. They can't shut down amphitheaters based on quote-unquote recommendations. So is it a recommendation or is it an order? Because they've now inserted themselves into a conversation that they shouldn't have been inserted in the first place, in my opinion.
Well, the reason that you are in this situation is because you never filed a permit to have this to begin with.
What if you just went
and filed the permit? Just file the permit.
Number one, I don't have to. Manning called the health department. The health department called, and you'll have to ask Manning exactly.
And you're talking about the owner of the amphitheater right now, right?
Yeah, he called the health department. The health department told him on the phone, we couldn't issue it anyway. So is there a health department in the United States that's going to issue a permit of 1,000 people or more? Well, they did it for Lagoon. So why not a private property that's gonna host country music and literally save small businesses? This is where we're at in America. It's really alarming.
Now, Eric, we're kind of reaching a crossroads here with your event. So it's escalating a bit. Tooele County is flexing. They've gone to court. They've got a temporary restraining order. They're claiming irreparable harm. If it comes down to it, if the sheriff shows up, if law enforcement is there, and you're being held responsible, is this something that you're willing to go to jail over? And if so, what's that calculus in your mind like?
Yeah, so I've talked to the sheriff at the Tooele County Sheriff's Department, and they are not planning on taking action with with respect to what the health department's wanting to do. It's a Class B misdemeanor if it goes forward. For me personally, yeah, I don't want to go to jail. I've taken hundreds of people to jail. Jail's the worst place in the world. But at this point, if they can do this for COVID-19, where in places like Tooele County, where there is zero, with a capital Z, zero deaths, they can do it for anything at any time.
But
so I believe that it's.
But Eric, you've got a judge breathing down your neck now. It's not just the sheriff. It's a judge who's told you you're not to hold that concert. So if the judge issues an arrest warrant for you, you're going to end up in jail.
Well, and that could be the case. We know that we're still excited about the event because the people that are coming, the sheriff isn't going to arrest them. And the small business owners, they're not going to arrest them. And so I believe in this so much that I believe that we're standing on the proper principles. And in several years to come, I think there's going to be a lot of people, including some people in positions of authority in Tooele, they're going to be standing on the wrong side of history on this one.
Eric Mutsos promising the show will go on in Tooele County. Straight ahead, how far is Tooele County government willing to go to stop Colin Ray from taking the stage Saturday night? How far is the government willing to go? Let's ask County Commissioner Sean Milne when he calls the show live. Straight ahead.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
The coronavirus, the Utah response, in-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
The nation's most controversial concert, heading for a courtroom showdown. We just heard from Eric Mutsos, who says the Colin Ray concert he's been organizing will go on in Tooele County, despite a public health order threatening criminal charges and a temporary restraining order issued by a judge last night. And last we heard, Colin Ray, well, he's still on his way to Utah for Saturday's free concert at that private amphitheater in Tooele County, Connor.
As far as Colin's concerned, maybe the Tooele County here has given them a lot of free advertising to get his name out there. He must be enjoying this. I'm excited to dig into this more. We have on the line Tooele County Commissioner Sean Milne, and I think we have some questions to ask. So, Commissioner Milne, thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, Connor. Good to hear you on the radio. And Debbie, thank you for having me back.
Thanks, Commissioner Milne. It's always good. I want to give Connor first dibs at you.
Maybe let's just start simple, Commissioner. So, Commissioner, simple question to start. Eric just joined us, says the concert will go on. You guys are in court. You've got a temporary restraining order. What's next?
Well, you know, I've maintained all along it'd be great to work with them rather than for them to take such an adversarial posture with our county. The organizer and the venue holder, they keep making this about something that it isn't. And, you know, they can tout that it's about the pandemic all they'd like. But from my perspective, this is about following the law and the rule of law. We have this permit process under normal circumstances. Country Fan Fest, Utah's largest music festival, goes through this process every year. And they're great to work with our community. Same thing with Nightlights or Lantern Fest. I mean, this is hardly a one-off, and we're not picking on them. They just need to go through the process, from my perspective.
Okay, but Commissioner Milne, in fairness to Eric Mutsos and the people who are trying to organize this event, according to the court records, they would be denied. Even if they filed a permit, the county is going to deny them. Is that accurate?
I don't think it's accurate, not in the way that they're portraying it, but they know that from many conversations we've had since the, well, as you mentioned, your radio program was the one to tell us that, hey, they changed venues. Again, not the most classy way to go about saying, hey, we're thinking about your community. Again, we'd rather work with them, and that's something fairly easy to overlook. You know, again, like I said last week's program, Debbie, I think it's awesome that they're thinking of Tooele County. We have so much so close to offer. Fantastic, great, but work with us. Don't just say, hey, I'm not going to go through your process. I'm going to, you know, basically be rude to the community. The community has overwhelmingly told us, commissioners, please do not allow this to happen. Now, let's not say universally, but overwhelmingly, our residents are pretty clear. And to show what a good guy I've attempted to be, I've called other communities as recently as last Friday. I got on the phone. I contacted some of my peers throughout other places in Utah. Nobody else wanted them. Not with the
Commissioner,
way this has been playing out.
Commissioner, let me ask a little bit more specific of a question. So you pointed out that a lot of residents don't want them there, but this is going to be held on private property. Now, if there were a way for them to make sure they have enough toilets and all the things that the county has an interest in for public health and safety, the fact that many residents don't want it there, would that lead to a denial of a mass gathering permit? Is there a route for them to comply and obtain a permit to hold this event, or is that just not in the cards at all?
That's very likely, but that's part of why some of the residents are speaking out, right? They don't like that these folks are coming in from out of town. They don't have any sense of, well, are you supporting our local businesses, or are you just supporting businesses from some other community, local businesses that are struggling too?
But does that matter for property rights? Do they need to support Tooele County businesses to hold something on private property in Tooele County?
Of course not. You know that, Connor, and I appreciate the question, but no, that's not the case. The situation is still relevant to our community, though. Our community has these laws. We ask everybody else who willingly goes through it every year to go through the same process. They're trying to make it about something that it isn't.
Tooele County Commissioner Sean Mill, live on the line. We're talking about that controversial country concert that the organizers want to hold this Saturday in Tooele County. The county has secured a temporary restraining order from a judge. It all heads to court tomorrow afternoon. Commissioner Milne, for those who do want to go to this free concert, and presumably we've heard the latest is Colin Rice still intends to show up, and the concert goes on without the permit, will the county arrest people who attend this concert?
Message either, and it puts our, you know, deputies, if we have concerns about what this could be in our community as attendees visit, you know, local diners or restaurants and gas stations, we'd have the same kind of concern with our public safety, right? So I appreciate that the organizer's former law enforcement. He can posture all he'd like about how this is some bigger great stand than it is, but unless he's had a change of morality, he knows that we're not looking to put our law enforcement officials in harm.
Commissioner, your call is breaking up, and so I want to make sure that our listeners can hear what you're saying. I wonder if you can, like, I don't know, walk closer to the cell tower or hold your hand up or something and repeat what you just said so everybody's really clear on what the intention is there in Tooele County.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. As a former law enforcement himself, you know, the event organizer would know we're not looking to put our law enforcement in harm's way. That's not the goal at all. We would just ask that folks would be mindful and work with our community rather than against it.
I guess the real question, Commissioner, is Eric, you know, by his own admission on the show moments ago, said they're still doing this. And so will they be held in contempt of court? Will the sheriff be ordered to arrest Eric? We don't want to put anyone in harm's way, but it sounds like the county is trying to enforce its existing process. How do you imagine this playing out if they move forward on Saturday?
You're right. We're going to insist that they follow the process that, again, all other businesses have done for years. You know, if he's that defiant, that's unfortunate. From our conversations that we've had privately over the last week, it seemed as though they might be willing to consider a postponement. I would certainly encourage them to still consider a postponement until they can go through the process and have this safely.
County Commissioner of Tooele County, Sean Milne, jumping live on the line with us right now to discuss this concert that appears will still go on Saturday. Commissioner Milne, thank you so much for giving us the county's take on this. This all heads to court, Connor, tomorrow afternoon after that judge issued last night that temporary restraining order. And what I've kind of been thinking about a lot the last couple of days, Connor, is this. if you're the concert organizer, if you're Eric, and we just talked to him, why not just file that permit, get denied, and then take it to court? Because then you're in control. You're in control of it. Right now, he's being dragged into court and threatened with a possible arrest.
You know, the argument I think on the other side, Debbie, is, man, we live in a permission slip society. There's permits for everything. This is on property rights. People are going to be safe. There's going to be toilets. There's going to be safety. You know, do we really need a permit for everything? The power to give a permit is the power to deny. And so this is on property rights. People will be safe. Let's deal with actual problems if they come up rather than saying you can't, you know, have fun and do safe things unless the government has given its blessing. That's, yeah. I think, the other side of the argument.
Well, that's interesting because I also look at it from this perspective. You know, Eric's bringing out vendors, he said, and people will be set up. Presumably, there'll be some food trucks. And when we talk about permits, we also talk about, in fact, this is in, you know, the back and forth in all the documents that I've been reading the last day or so, that, you know, food permits need to be issued to, or they people need to be properly permitted for that. So are you suggesting that people should just be able to roll up with their food trucks and, you know, I'll just cook up whatever I want? I don't need to have a permit for that either. Because I do think as a society, we do expect people who are feeding us their food to be permitted to do so.
And the wonderful thing about the food trucks is they've already been inspected. They've already been tested. I don't think that would be an issue. We actually passed a food truck freedom law in Utah a few years ago. So I think it would all end up okay. I don't think it'd be an issue. I think this would be a big nothing burger. People on Saturday are going to have fun and let it be.
But why does he get a pass, Connor? Why does this?
I think more people should get a pass. Maybe this is a lesson to push back and say, wait a minute, let's rethink this permitting process where we can tell people that they can't do things on their own property unless they have our blessing. Maybe this would kind of help, you know, reimagine the way we do things. I don't know.
Straight ahead, let's get into this conversation. Been a discussion as to whether concert organizers would be willing to go to jail to hold a country concert in Tooele County in a pandemic. So I want to do a deep dive into our own souls. What are you? What am I? What is Connor willing to go to jail over? And no, I'm not willing to go to jail over my kids. No, that's not my answer. I'll tell you what my answer is straight ahead.
Dave and Dujanovic. The coronavirus. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
We're calling it the Rogue Concert. The Rogue Concert in Tooele County. An organizer for that Colliery concert for Saturday night says the show will go on. He just told Connor Boyack and I, our special guest host today, social distancing from me, that, yep, it's going to go on in Tooele County despite a public health order and despite a temporary restraining order legally blocking it from taking place, Connor.
The show will go on, and now the question is how many people show up and how big a party is it going to be? But the real question in my mind is what is the county and what is the sheriff going to do when the judge says, thou shalt not, and they proceed anyway?
And what are we willing to go to jail over? Because when I talked, or and I asked Eric Moutsos, the organizer of the concert, just had him on the show moments ago, that, you know, are you willing to go to jail? You asked him that question. I asked him that question because now there's a judge involved in this. It's not just the sheriff, who Eric says has kind of made apparently maybe like a deal that he's not going to show up and arrest people. And it sounded like, you know, the Tooele County Commissioner to me wasn't interested in arresting people who went to the concert. But what about the organizers? Because now there's a judge involved who said, no, this is not going to take place. You got to show up in my courtroom on Friday. We're going to hash this thing out. Here's what Moutsos told us.
Well, and that could be the case. We know that we're still excited about the event because the people that are coming, the sheriff isn't going to arrest them. And the small business owners, they're not going to arrest them. And so I believe in this so much that I believe that we're standing on the proper principles. And in several years to come, I think there's going to be a lot of people, including some people in positions of authority in Tooele, they're going to be standing on the wrong side of history on this one.
So, Connor, he acknowledges that the judge could issue a warrant for him.
And really, this comes down to, this is private property rights. Why can't they, I mean, can someone be told they can't have a birthday party? Well, yes, we've seen in the pandemic in other states, cops showing up at a little kid's birthday party. This is like a big party. So where's the principle? To me, the principle is property rights. And I applaud people like Eric, notwithstanding the risks, saying we're just trying to do the right thing and have some fun in a safe way.
But what are you willing to go to jail for? Because I'll tell you what I'm not willing to go to jail for. Throwing a country concert in the middle of the desert during a pandemic. I am not willing, as big of a country fan as I am, and I've been to a lot of country concerts. Colin Ray has not been one of them. But I'm not willing to go to jail for a country concert. What are you willing to go to jail for, Connor?
You know, I'm a beekeeper. That's one of my my hobbies. And I actually am an illegal beekeeper. You're supposed to license your beehives with the state. I don't do that by choice. So, you know, I love my bees. If they tried to take my bees away, I'd go to jail over my bees. They're very special.
Should I get the Utah County Sheriff on the line now? You've just confessed.
I think they all know.
What's the punishment for that? Have you researched it? Because I think sometimes when we're nervous about when we do not quite the right thing, maybe it's not terribly wrong, we kind of know what the punishment might be. So do you have a clue?
Well, but here's an issue that's probably more relatable to your question. In Utah, everyone has to get a license to have a home-based business. Well, tons of people operate little mini businesses, and there are consequences of that, right? You can get, you know, Class B misdemeanors in some cities for simply having an Etsy shop, right, or doing essential oils and not paying $100 to the city for the privilege of doing so. So it really gets down to this question of when you're just enjoying these basic freedoms and you don't have your permission slip, what is the proper response? And yeah, are you willing to go to jail over that thing?
You know, Eric Moutsos, the organizer of the concert, and I have had several conversations back and forth about this. And I'm not on board with the idea of him throwing a concert in the middle of a pandemic. I'm a rule follower. All right, I'll just admit it. But I tried to do this morning to get inside his brain and his thought process. What am I willing to go to jail for? What do I so believe in? My principles. That I am willing to sit and rot in a jail cell, three hots in a cot, for days on end with no release date in sight. And I'll tell you what that is. That's my sources. I am willing to go to jail for the rest of my life to not reveal who my sources for stories are. So when I put it in that context, Connor, it kind of starts to click for me. Why Eric, if he's so into this, which a lot of people on our Utah Community Credit Union KSL text line are chiming in on, and they don't get it. They don't get it. But that's why I wanted to take a deep dive into our souls and say, what are we absolutely willing to go to jail for? And I'll tell you right now, that's what I'm willing to go to jail for. You're willing to maybe serve a little time for the beehives you're illegally keeping in your backyard. But I have a feeling if you took an even deeper dive into your soul, Connor, that there'd be something even bigger at stake for you.
And knowing Eric, Debbie, I know that's what it is for him. This isn't about country music. This isn't about a concert. It's not about flexing against, you know, a county that doesn't want you there. It's basically the freedom of association. It's property rights. These are fundamental principles. And just like we can go to Costco right now, right? Why can't we go to a concert? Why can't we safely social distance and take appropriate measures but still have an event on property rights when we want, where we want, on private property? That, I think, is the principle in play, is can the government interfere in our freedom of association? We've seen it with churches. We've seen it with so-called non-essential businesses. And yeah, you've seen some business owners who say across the country, I'm essential, I'm open to my business, and I'm willing to go to jail for it. And some of them have. So I think there is a time when taking a stand is appropriate.
Well, I will agree with you on this front. I think we have all learned a very hard lesson in what the government is capable of telling us and asking us to do in a pandemic. Because I'll tell you what, let's say December of 2019, I had no idea that the pandemic was coming, like a lot of us, and that the health department could hold so much power. And that the governor would step up in a mask and ask us all to stay home. And guess what? We would all stay home. So I was clueless on that front, too. But here's the issue is, aren't the rules different in a pandemic when we're trying to protect the spread of it, when we're trying to keep the hospital capacity at a reasonable amount so we're not overrun, so we can save those folks who can't breathe because they catch COVID-19? And as to your point for Costco, I will challenge you on that. Costco's following rules, and in fact, they're going above and beyond. They have the license to operate, right? Am I correct? They have their business license.
But that's just it. Who gets to make the rules, right? We've seen where the government has deemed certain businesses essential and certain non-essential, and I think that's a problematic government power when they can tell people, you know, it's okay to go to Walmart, it's not okay to go to church. It's okay to congregate here, but not there. Like you, you know, many of us have realized, oh my gosh, look at the powers the government is asserting that we never could have dreamed of just a few months ago. And where Eric's coming from in organizing this, I think, is saying that's not a proper government power to be picking winners and losers in a pandemic. He made a very valid point, I think, Debbie, which is they've held large events before. There's been no uptick in cases. There's been no problems. And so unless the government has evidence to show that this is going to actually create a public health crisis, then let it be.
But you and I both know that's not possible because a lot of people who are carriers of COVID-19 are silent carriers. They don't know they have it. So what if this becomes a hotspot? What if this becomes a COVID-19 hotspot? And don't say that can't happen, Connor, because it has happened. It's happened at a choir practice in New York where one guy shows up with COVID-19 and now 50-some-odd choir members contract it and two of them end up dying. It happened, according to our friend and Deseret News reporter Amy Donaldson, it happened on the Navajo Reservation where they hold a ceremony of some kind, and it becomes turns into a COVID-19 outbreak. So what if this culinary concert in Tooele County turns into a hotspot, and in 3 weeks from now, we have a uptick in cases? Then what?
These are fair questions, Debbie. To that, I just have to say that there's always a what if in life. There's always risk. There's always danger. You know, we could save a lot more lives by prohibiting people from driving over 30 miles an hour. There are a lot of what ifs out there that I think are very valid. We all want to be safe and cautious. No one wants people to die. But it's almost like we have a presumption of guilt, right? In the criminal context, you're presumed innocent until proven guilty in a court of law. But it's almost here with this asymptomatic carrier thing that the government is saying, we're presuming that everyone is contagious. Therefore, we are going to control everyone, limit how many people can congregate together. What is it about the number 50 right now in the yellow color-coded, you know, spectrum that 50 is okay, but hey, 51, you're breaking the law, 52. And so why not 80? Why not 100? Why not 110 if we can do it safely?
Connor, I will agree with you on that. I don't know how they came up with the number 50.
It's magic.
Why not 51? Why not 52? Okay, I think we've both made excellent points. This has been a really great conversation. Let's continue the David Dejanovic Show with our guest host, Connor Boyack. President Trump waging war on what he calls social media censorship. I cannot wait to talk about this. Do you feel censored on social media? I don't think they censor all of you enough, all you non-epidemiologists who suddenly know everything there is to know about COVID-19. Can't wait to have that debate straight ahead.
Dave and Dejanovic.